This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In Bangladesh, over 50,000 farmers who lost their land to climate change-related river erosion participated in a radical project initiated by the international NGO Practical Action, which transforms barren land into huge pumpkin fields. Dubbed as Pumpkins Against Poverty, the project has yielded more than 90,000 tons of produce since the first trials in 2005 and has benefited more than 16,000 of the poorest people in Bangladesh. With the effects of climate change already making its appearance in Malaysia, I find out more about the project from Nazmul Islam Chowdhury, the project manager of Pumpkins Against Poverty at Practical Action Bangladesh, and discuss how we might incorporate such projects in our own lands. Hi Nazmul, how are you today?
Yeah, thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Nazmul, Practical Action is an international NGO that uses technology to challenge poverty in developing countries. How did you first get involved with their work?
Actually, Practical Action work on technology and particularly appropriate technology. So our niche is to innovate technology on the ground. It might be small. But have a bigger impact. Under these circumstances, based on the philosophy of Schumacher, small is beautiful, Practical Action always try to innovate technology. I think this is a part of this philosophical thought to identify and innovate technology to benefit people on the ground.
And one of the biggest problems for people, I think, is a lack of food throughout the year as crops and lands are affected by the floods. So for those of us who are unfamiliar with Bangladesh, what are the weather patterns there like?
It's a great challenge over the time, and particularly very recently, last two decades, there is a global warming and changing climate condition is putting people's life in a great danger. So in Bangladeshi case, particularly flood is a very common phenomenon nowadays, and also related with flood, there is a massive river erosion. So due to river erosion, people used to lose their home and businesses, and they permanently displaced from their locality, and they are now treated as a floating community. Under the circumstances, as they are losing their home and businesses land, so they are putting at risk of hunger. They have no access to land. The people had a land before. Now they have no land at all. So this thing is putting them in a crisis situation for food insecurity and hunger on the ground. As a result, they are migrating to urban areas, and they are now treating as a climate change refugee in our country.
And you know, I was reading that a nutrition officer who worked in Rangpo, which is where Practical Action is doing this Pumpkins Against Poverty project, that many people, including children, only have one or two meals a day, and people in the region suffer from malnutrition and night blindness caused by a lack of vitamin A. Is that true?
Exactly. This is another hidden challenge of the poorer community in developing countries, particularly like Bangladesh. When people are at risk of hunger and food insecurity, they are not getting adequate meals a day. As a result, it is directly impacting particularly children, lactating mother and women,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually for their nutritional support. As a result, gradually they are losing their health condition. And particularly we have found in our research that stunting is a crucial issue under 5 years children. In rural areas, about 54% children found as a stunted growth as a result of a lack of nutrition supply at the family level. So it's a big challenge at the moment for the poorer community living in a fragile environment in our country. So nutritional deficiency. So government and donor agencies are working to address these needs. But I think this is still a big challenge, which is a result of blindness of children particularly. And also the lactating mother and pregnant women are equally vulnerable under this deficiency of nutrition.
Okay. And usually at the end of the monsoon season, the heavy rains stop and the river levels eventually kind of return to normal. But something called sandbars emerge. What are these sandbars exactly?
Actually, this is a process of reverse system. You know, this is we are living under the northwest region of Bangladesh is the foothill of Himalayas. Water used to come from India, Nepal, China, and Bhutan. And during monsoon, we used to receive huge amount of water from upstream. But during the dry season, it is reduced gradually. And particularly since October or September, October, water start to recede from the main riverbed. Actually, flood water goes to the bay and riverbed start to recede the water. And vast sheet of sandbar actually raise in the middle of the river. So there are some tributaries surrounding the river system, and there are partly big vast sheet of sandbar raised in the middle of the river, particularly in the basin of the river. This is called, we are treating this this is transitional land as a sandbar land.
Okay, and I understand that until recently people thought that sandbars were not quite suitable to grow crops on, but how did you guys discover that they were actually suitable for cultivation?
Actually, this is a big story, early 2004. You know, sand is not fertile at all. This is infertile land. This is only the sand can use as a plastering wall. But it is something, necessity knows no bound theory in 2004, when we find our community has no land at all to grow any crop.
Right.
So out of curiosity, and actually we have tried something is better than nothing objective in 2004, whether sand can produce some food for the poor or not. So in year one, in 2005, when we go for trial, so in year one we have got some tremendous result with 63,000 pumpkin from the sand. So this was the breakthrough of the sandbar cropping system in Bangladesh. And since then we are progressing geometrically with the number of beneficiaries and the area of land. To date, around 9,000 hectare of land under cultivation by 15,000 beneficiaries. So it was an accident. I think this is by chance, with out of madness, the technology has came out based on the necessity knows no demand theory.
So this is how basically Pumpkins Against Poverty Practical Actions Project comes. And I understand that you've been working with communities in the Rangpur area of Bangladesh in particular.
Yes.
I understand that you experimented with a range of plants, but pumpkins were the biggest success. So what sort of other plants were tried before you came to the conclusion that pumpkins were the most suitable?
Actually, at the earlier stage, at the trial stage, we have tried with 10 to 12 different variety of crop on the sandbar. And we have observed that all cucurbit crop can be grown on the sandbar system. Still, we are doing with squash along with pumpkin and other product, agricultural commodity. But why we select pumpkin, this is something logical, because you know, pumpkin can be stored over in here, and it can be stored in a normal temperature, don't need cold storage to store it. And people have the choice to sell it when they like to sell. So it is under the control of producers. They can keep it at home and they can sell it based on their need, not the demand of market actors in the process of market system.
Right.
So this pumpkin has given lot of solutions, and particularly, you know, pumpkin is vitamin A rich food. That is why it is helping directly to the eye blindness, nutritional to meet up the nutritional deficiency of the poorer family, and people can store it over a year. So a lot of good positive thing blended with the pumpkin. That is why this is farmer choice. Farmers also like pumpkin to grow because it is good food throughout the year, and also with nutritionalists, and market demand is very high, credibility is very high. So all our positive thing has given to choose the pumpkin as a major crop for sandbar cropping system. But it is equally found other crop can be grown in the sandbar system.
Okay, well. But it's just that pumpkins have the most benefits as such.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm speaking today to Nazmul Islam Chowdhury. He's the project manager of Pumpkins Against Poverty at Practical Action Bangladesh. And we're talking about the project called Pumpkins Against Poverty. Coming up after the break, we discuss how exactly the whole process works. You're listening to Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. I'm speaking today to Nazmul Islam Chowdhury. He's the project manager of Pumpkins Against Poverty at Practical Action Bangladesh. And we are talking about the project of how growing pumpkins in sandbars, which are usually land that has never been cultivated before, is helping thousands of poor Bangladeshis in terms of nutrition and income. Nazmul, could you walk me through the whole process of planting the pumpkins? How do you cultivate the soil, which is usually barren, and how do you make it productive?
Again, I tell this is very small and beautiful technology. The pumpkin is not a rocket technology. Pumpkin growing is very simple, and it is not even like normal agricultural crop production. It needs a lot of fertilizer, a lot of labor before planting everything. But sandbar cropping has given very right solution and easy solution for growing pumpkin. And during the season, what we do, actually there is a vast sandbar is there. So it needs to dig a hole around 5 to 10 minutes, just 2 square feet of hole, and we call pit. Just after digging a pit, we leaning this pit with around 10 to 12 or 15 kilo of compost, and we plant 4 pumpkins over there. Within 7 days, germination starts, and after the germination completed, we just keep 2 good sampling, healthy sampling over there, and we remove another 2 or 1 pumpkin surplus and replant it other pits where sapling is required. So this is very simple technology, digging pit, putting, leaning with compost and planting seed and little water for a month. Every 3 days, we used to use around 1 or 2 liter water in the pit. So it can help to grow the sapling up to a vegetative level stage. So when it comes out from the pit and start to spread on the surface, then we try to use increase water and irrigation, and it needs very small amount of fertilizer, and particularly it is dominated by the organic and compost based production system.
And I understand it's also very low labor intensity, with only 20 to 25 work days required over about 5 months for, you know, for everything that you just mentioned, for the training, the pit preparation, the sowing, the carrying, the irrigation and guarding.
Yes, exactly. It is not labor intensive. Actually, we need some periodical labor for its intercropping cultural management during 5 months or 180 days time. So initial labor, it is little bit labor intensive. Digging pit, it needs to dig around 100 pit for 2 days, and then putting compost 1 day. So 3, 4, 5 days is labor intensive. After that, it is very periodical. Every day, 1 hour or 2 hours is enough to maintain the cropping system on the ground.
And I understand that additionally, you know, the production, processing and marketing chain has already been established and, you know, has resulted in pumpkins reaching over 1 million consumers throughout the country.
This is true. Actually, it was a big challenge. Actually, marketing is a big challenge for all over the country, in Bangladesh and even outside of Bangladesh. So agricultural marketing was the challenge, but in case of pumpkin, we're lucky enough, we have established a very systematic village-based market system. Mm-hmm. So it is helping. People are storing it at their home in a shelf with the gradings, on a small, medium and bigger size. And what we did, actually we have established a market system in combination of market actors at local, regional and national level. And we take them on the ground to demonstrate the technology and the product we have on the ground and at household level. And we make them producer group and the actors in the same platform. And now they are dealing by their own, making the marketing thing and they are communicating within themselves when they would like to sell their product. They are coming and they are buying, and the market actors are transporting this product from local level to regional and national level. Even very recently, we have got an opportunity to export this pumpkin in Malaysia and Saudi Arabia.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
Other, yes, it is started to actually exporting to other countries. So it's a great achievement. The market system has been established with the view of village-based market system and village-based economy, and it is driven by the producer. So our intention is to hand over a stick to the farmer, not to the middleman. So in a sense, we are in a good position to control the market by the producers.
Yeah, so it's sort of like a community-led market system then.
Exactly, community-led market system.
That's excellent. And speaking of the community, what has the impact of this method of planting been like for the people themselves, as in terms of like income, asset generation, food consumption, nutrition?
This is very good, actually. Socioeconomic, our intention is to give them socioeconomic upliftment. So we are in a good position to see their progress by using very low-cost technology on the ground. And particularly the barren resource can help them in many ways. The household once treated as a vulnerable to the external relief and rehabilitation, the same people with the touch of technology, they are now feeding the world, as I told,
yes.
Because they are exporting their pumpkin to the to abroad. And also in the national level, they are sending 100,000 ton of pumpkin for the consumer, whatever, poor, rich, and everyone. So the person has been treated as a vulnerable. Now they are feeding to the national, local, regional, and international level. And simultaneously, this has given the opportunity to rebuild their life and livelihood. As a result of the pumpkin production, the income they are getting, so they are investing it for their next generation projects. So for example, they are investing it around 40% for livestock resource management. So livestock is giving them a handsome return within 3-4 months with the cow fattening and also milk cow rearing. And additionally, they are addressing their prime need, particularly housing need. And also they are spending some profit for their children to send them to school. And it is great for the women. They are very happy. They are telling the income and return is helping them to manage their families, particularly food security aspect and educational aspect of their children, and the major social issues, that is particularly 100% women agree on this. They are very happy to invest during festival. They used to buy clothes for their children, and mothers are always happy when their child is happy. So it is helping in many ways, particularly asset generation, income, rebuild their livelihood, and also for their growth and development, and I would say sustainable development. They are buying land, they are investing in business, and particularly the hidden challenge, it is meeting their nutritional demand, which is a great need nowadays in developing countries to address the health issues of the poorer community. So there are multiple impacts already we have observed through this innovation and product.
And I think the beauty of all of this is that it's a very low-risk technology. It's very user-friendly. You know, for example, like pumpkin growers, they can also preserve the seeds from their pumpkins so that they have free seeds to plant for next year's growing season. I guess this is just all part of the how sustainable the whole method is.
Yes, actually, this is naturally blessed. The system is running very well, and this is self-sustainable, you know. It needs a very small amount of water, it needs only barren fallen transitional land, it needs only a shorter distance, a shorter growing time, I think 120 days to 50 days maximum, and also it can store in normal temperature. You need not to big investment like cold storage, and also it is blended with highly nutritional rich food. And nowadays doctors are telling Pumpkin is a good source of many other diseases, particularly prostate gland with the pumpkin tree. It is a preventive measure of prostate gland cancer. The seed is using in abroad hugely to protect this thing. And also it can reduce the cholesterol level and maintain blood sugar and triglyceride. I have got an article from the journal. So it is also have a medicinal value, not only the food. So why not? This pumpkin is a, I think I have started to tell this thing. This is not a pumpkin, this is golden magic ball which is giving solutions in the process of food insecurity, economic graduation and change of the life from a vulnerable level to a good shape of life by the board right now.
And speaking of food security, I mean, climate change and food security are two issues that, you know, all of us should be taking more seriously. But can this technology be easily replicated in other parts of the world, for example, where similar conditions exist, you know, as a means to battle problems arising from the effects of climate change?
Yes, you are right. Actually, you know, not only Bangladesh is a climate vulnerable country, a lot of countries, even France, we have observed. 2 weeks before there is a massive flooding, and particularly a lot of countries are affected as a result of climate change and environmental change, particularly global warming, and in particular the African countries. The Horn of Africa is massively suffering from food insecurity and water deficiency. So I would like to add here, there is a great potential of its replication in Africa because there is a crucial need of food supply and there is a huge demand of food and there is abundant land. So it is a matter of fitting the technology in that condition through collaboration and linking. And also it has equal potential in Southeast Asian country, particularly in India, Nepal, and also even some parts of China. It can easily replicate it to benefit many millions of people, those who need food in coming decades or centuries to secure their food security and demand.
Are there plans, you know, to sort of work together with these countries and to kind of get them to incorporate this technology?
Actually, in our country, we are trying to replicate it through government institution, that is Department of Agricultural Extension. We have already signed an MOU with the government, and also Agriculture Ministry is very keen, and particularly Prime Minister herself is very fond of this technology. They spread all over the country to benefit many hundred thousand of farmers, those who need food and access to resources. So we are in a good position for making an influence government, policymakers, and also the departments to come and join with this novel work to replicate to benefit millions. And equally, it can help outside of our country to benefit the people in the process of development.
Thank you, Nazmul. That was Nazmul Islam Chowdhury, the project manager of Pumpkins Against Poverty at Practical Action Bangladesh. And we've been discussing the project Pumpkins Against Poverty. You have been listening to Earth Matters and the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.